Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
That's what Maryland does.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
You big man, pop, I'm talking to you.
What?
You wake up in the morning, you start, put on my big boy pants. Put on a little jacket, you go. You take your lunch because you got big boy pants on.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
I can say big loud things. I can be demonstrative. This is how you conduct yourself in a democracy.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
We want to look to the future. We've got to tear down the past. Babe Ruth was nothing more than a fat old man with little girl legs.
The Fan.
I want it all. Money, fast cars, diamond rings, gold chains.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Thanks for being with us on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon. It's been a busy show. College football loaded. A lot of fun just to kind of start with a college football conversation.
I got in super late, like 10 minutes before the show. Didn't think we were going to go almost an hour and a half of college football mixed in with Johnny Depp poop in the bed stories.
Yeah, a little poo in the bed. Yeah, yeah. That at 12:45. You want to go check that. We got a great Post Malone story we need to get to in the final hour of the show.
Also, Dirt hates Post Malone. He's going to let us know.
No, I actually don't hate Post Malone.
Oh.
This is a very old thing to say. I don't know anything about Post Malone other than it's Post Malone. Does that make sense?
You don't know, like, the songs he's made?
I could not name you a single song.
No, I couldn't name you a song. The only thing I know him for was some Doritos commercials.
He did a Doritos commercial. I don't know what kind of music. Does he sing? Does he rap? I don't know anything about Post Malone.
He doesn't really rap. It's more like, how can I
mean, I know who he is. I know the name, but.
It'd be like, you know when Drake does singing songs?
Highline Bling.
He kind of like that.
Kind of like that?
That's the vibe he goes for.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, maybe I'll check him out. I don't know.
I listen to some of his stuff when I run.
Okay.
It puts me in a good headspace.
Good running mood. And also, mail sack coming up. We got some good mail sack questions coming in. We'll get to those at 2:15. Let's get to NFL True or False. Headed to late. Heather Dinich, too important. We couldn't pass on that at 1:30, so we bumped it to 2 o'clock today.
Yes.
What do we got, Swigard?
Washington owner Dan Snyder announcing Monday the team's name and logo is being retired after 93 years. There is a new name and logo expected to be announced as soon as trademarking details get secured. Yeah, apparently somebody was squatting on all the potential names.
They found that guy, though.
Yeah.
And they talked to him.
What did he say? Just did it for money, obviously?
No, he says he basically bought those names so nobody would steal them because he hated the Redskin name. So he wanted to make sure nobody took them. And I think he's going to be willing to just give.
No way he just gives that away.
I'm telling you, they found this bro, and he seems like a really nice guy. And he basically just like, if you want the name, I have it. I don't want to get in the way and stop anything.
Yeah, nice people want to make money, too.
True or false?
False?
Washington will lead the NFL in merchandise sales for the 2020 season.
Oh.
False. I'm going to go false on this one, Bob, for a couple of reasons. I think there's intriguing teams with new additions that if they have good years will drive up sales. I think Tampa Bay is an example. That, like, if Tampa Bay comes out as a good year, man, those fans are going to go crazy. The other part of this, too, I wonder, is there's a chunk, and I don't know what exact percentage it is, there's a chunk that are pissed. And I think it's going to take them some time to get over it. I think you're going to have a spike initially of people like, hey, look at that. Let's celebrate them not having that name anymore. But, I think at bare minimum, you're going, what, 25% of fans that are pissed about this news?
Minimum,
and they're not going to go out buying new gear. They're going to rock their old stuff and still call them the Redskins. So I think this is false.
Yeah, it's, you know, losing a name like the Redskins as a white fan is going to be really tough for those people. I'm going to say false as well. I think it's going to be a team that ends up having a great year. You know, even teams that are traditionally thought of as good can drive up merch sales. So even though the new name and logo is going to be out there, I don't think they'll quite be there. False.
I think it's false. I think Tampa Bay is going to lead it. I also think it's going to be so tight to start turning around and actually getting stuff manufactured and out there.
Yeah.
They'll flood the Washington, D.C. market, but I think if you're outside of it, if you're a fan living somewhere else, it's going to be really hard to get your hands on anything initially. And who knows? I mean, screen printing T-shirts and those sorts of things, I think it's, I mean, it's labor intensive, so you need people. It's not something, I don't know how much you can do purely with machinery and assembly lines and robotics and that sort of thing. So I don't know in the current environment how many people can start cranking stuff out. Number two, the deadline for franchise-tagged players to sign long-term deals with their respective teams is Wednesday. True or false? Less than half of the 14 players that have been tagged, and this was 14 before we heard of the two that we just discussed, remain unsigned and will agree to long-term deals before Wednesday's deadline.
So we're going 12 now? You got to go half of the 12?
No, those two count.
Oh, they count. Okay.
So
you, so you need five more?
So, yeah.
I'm going to go... I'm going to go false on this one. We're coming up against a deadline. I haven't heard many rumors about other deals getting done. I mean, just two examples. I know one guy we'll get to in a moment, but Derrick Henry, that sounds like they're not going to give him a deal.
They said it last night.
Dak's not going to get a deal.
Dak's not getting a deal. The latest reporting on that, so they're not even talking in the next 24 hours. So you need five more, maybe a couple more, but I'm not going to get all the way to half. This is false.
Yeah, that's too many for me.
No, so that would be true.
Or true, yeah.
Too many for me. I'm going true as well. I just... The Henry stuff came out. There was an idea that maybe Myles Garrett. Chris Jones was kind of a back and forth, but you hadn't heard a complete. The Chiefs were out on that. So I'm not really surprised by the couple we've had. Mm-hmm. I do want to ask you, though, Swigard.
Yo.
Pissed? Don't care? Where are you at with the Dak thing? Because he's not getting a deal by tomorrow.
I'm frustrated that nobody can seem to make a decision. I don't necessarily... I like that Jerry and Stephen Jones haven't caved and given him... because I don't think he's worth it, what he's asking. But they haven't handled this thing very well in terms of either just saying, hey, this is it. This is the offer on the table. If you don't want it, fine. Then we're moving on.
Right.
I'm drafting... whatever I can get, or I'm going to make moves to trade up in the draft or whatever.
Yeah, you're going the Kirk Cousins route right now.
Yeah. I think they need to, I mean, you don't want to, and I don't know where the fan base is. I think the fan base is kind of up in the air too.
It is very split.
Our sister station, almost all of their hosts drive home that they think he's the bro. RJ Choppy, Gavin Dawson.
Yeah, Gavin.
Everybody that was a show on the ticket over there, they're huge on him.
I think
I've heard the fan base is more splintered than that.
Well, I think from all the leadership skills and in the locker room and rallying the troops, I think he's got all of those things that you need. So, you know, now the other piece is how much was that coaching staff holding him back in his development?
Sure.
So
that's a big test this year.
Number three, Derrick Henry, among those players that has been franchise tagged for 2020 and remains unsigned for a long-term deal. True or false, this will be Henry's last season in Tennessee.
Oh, this is true.
Oh.
Yeah, this is true.
You don't think they go back-to-back tags with him?
I don't think he's going to have as good a productive year as he did last year. I don't think they're going to want to tag him. If they can't get a decent number agreed upon, I think they're going to just say, all right, you can walk.
Yeah, this makes Tennessee a fascinating team because he had a tale of 2 years last year. I mean, before they benched Mariota, I think Mariota's last start was like in Buffalo, and they got they couldn't score a touchdown. He only had one 100-yard game, and then they closed out the year him going for 188, 159, 149, 103, 211. Not to mention his playoff run of 182, 195 before being held to 69 yards against the Chiefs. I mean, he was their offense last year. And Tannehill made some big plays that opened things up a little bit for him. But their entire success offensively was centered around him, and them winning two playoff games was entirely centered around him.
See the AFC title game when he kind of got slowed down.
69 yards, and they struggled a little bit offensively, and they couldn't keep up with Kansas City, and they beat Baltimore New England because he went for 182 and 195, averaging over 5 yards per carry. Dear Lord. This, to me, though, I'm going to say false on this. Now, I think it depends on his stance, but I think they're going to try and go the Le'Veon Bell route if they can. And he seems open to playing on the franchise tag. He's going to play on it likely this year. If he has another good year north of 1,300 yards, are you just going to let him walk? And I don't think they want to give him that contract extension because he's a big dude. I think they might go back-to-back tags. I'm going to say that this is false.
I think this is true. I think he's going to have another huge year for them. I don't think then Tennessee will want to use the exclusive rights franchise tag because that number will be insane.
It's going to be crazy. Yeah. It's going to be crazy.
And somebody will make him a multi-year offer at that point. It might not be more than 3 years, but I think it'll be big guaranteed money and more than Tennessee's going to be willing to
also think about it this way too. If he has a good year similar to what he did last year,
led the league last year over 1500 yards,
and they don't want to go that route with the tag and they can't agree upon a contract, they might turn into a team that just says, we're the new Denver, we can get a new guy in here.
Good luck with that.
I know, good luck with that, but there's some teams that buy into that. Sure. So they can talk themselves out of committing a lot of money to a guy that might not end up being worth it.
Finally, the Eagles had to lure longtime Pro Bowl offensive lineman Jason Peters back for one more season after Brandon Brooks was lost for the year with a ruptured Achilles tendon. True or false, the Eagles will be last among NFC East teams in rushing yards for the 2020 season.
Ooh.
That's a great question.
I mean, I think you tend to put Dallas up there with the O-line and Zeke. You tend to put the Giants up there, even though I don't know much about their O-line, but you got Saquon Barkley.
Careful, don't tell Swag about the O-line in Dallas. It's going to piss him off.
I will say false, though. Hedge my bet and think that the Redskins or no, excuse me, the Washington, whatever they're going
to be named later,
probably Warriors,
will be the worst in every offensive category. And I will say this is false.
I'm going to say this is false too. I think largely is, let's see, one. Yeah, this is false. They were second in the division in rushing last year.
Boom goes the dynamite.
How about that? I wouldn't have guessed that high. I would have guessed maybe New York ahead of them because of Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
But I think their offense kind of leads to those random delay draws. I think they're not. I don't think they're going to be dead last in rushing in the NFC East. So this is false.
Okay.
Well, assuming Saquon Barkley and Ezekiel Elliott remain healthy, those two teams will be 1-2.
Yeah.
I think Washington's got a bit more of a reclamation project. I think Philly's going to throw it more.
Yeah.
This year, so it'll be close, but I will say false. I think the Eagles end up third.
There you go. NFL true or false, usually at 1:30, bumped it to 2:00 today for Heather Dinich, and we'll get back to it next week. All right, mail sack time. Get your questions in 503-250-1080, sports or non-sports related. We got some good ones rolling in. We will answer them coming up next on 1080 The Fan. A question posed by Mike Leach and some Post Malone stuff. Get to that coming up bottom of the hour. We also have players snitching in the NBA. Loaded. Still a lot to get to. Let's get to the mail sack, though, shall we? It's Tuesday. It's slightly after 2:15.
By the way, the snitching thing's fun, but to somebody who I saw on Twitter's point, like, that's good.
I'm glad that they're doing it.
You want the snitching to happen.
Yes, I want the NBA to finish the season. If people are being stupid, get them out of there.
Yep.
By the way, one bit of brief news before we get to the sack. This, according to Jonathan Lemire. He is a White House reporter for the AP.
Oh, no.
He is reporting that researchers report that the first vaccine tested in the United States for coronavirus boosted volunteers' immune systems as hoped.
Now, let's hope.
A glimmer of hope for you.
Yeah, let's also hope that the tweet that I saw early in the show is not going to happen or be true, and that was that the White House was directing hospitals to send them COVID data instead of the CDC.
Send it to us, man. We got this. Okay, let's get to the sack. You ready?
Sure.
Ready to sack it up?
Yeah.
Okay, everything being equal, this is from Brennan.
Mail sack. Mail sack.
Everything being equal, are you gentlemen beach guys or lake guys?
Oh.
Oh,
I'm a lake guy.
Oh, you're a lake guy.
Yep.
He gets so excited, he's hiking the football.
He wants to do an update.
Yeah.
Moved in there.
Okay, now can I feel like you're going to go lake guy too, and you can.
Oh, interesting.
You can change that.
Why do you stereotype me as a lake guy?
Because you're an urban cowboy.
Urban cowboys more lake than ocean?
Yeah, they love to go to the lake and drink PBR and spit. No, I love the beach. I actually lean the coast because we have so many coastal towns that kick ass. Like, I'm never mad of any town I go to at the beach. But my lake experience this past weekend was life-changing.
Yeah, good lake experience.
I put a kayak, and I was just cruising a foot above the water, moving easy, throwing a fishing pole in. Life was really good.
Yeah.
I can't get that at the beach, but I'm going to still take the beach.
I'm gonna slightly hedge beach. Slightly.
That's an upset.
Because of and this is all things created equal, so we're talking good weather, swimmable water. Right?
Yeah, you can't find that at the beach.
No, I'm saying all things are equal, so I'm getting a nice beach out of this. Yeah, like if you asked me to choose a nice lake in Oregon or the Oregon coast, I might go nice lake in Oregon, but if I'm going to go like tropical beach, I'm going tropical beach because I can lay on the sand, you can just hang, you can go body surfing, go jump in the water. But the water sport aspect of it is what makes the lake, gives it a chance.
Yeah.
Because outside of like boogie boarding, and I'm not a surfer, so some people surf. But that kind of stuff, like lake activities, jumping in the boat, your inner tube in, you're kayaking,
paddle boarding,
right? You can't do that in an ocean.
That's a good point.
The lake's making an argument, but I still side beach.
Yeah, I will go lake. I mean, Hawaii's pretty fantastic, but I'm not one that can sit out on the beach in the heat all day. And once sand starts getting everywhere, it annoys the crap out of me.
You know, I'll also add this. I had a great 4th of July weekend in Newport while also having a great weekend at the lake last weekend. When you're on the beach for a few hours on like today's weather,
perfect. Yeah.
Right? Today is perfect. After about 4 to 5 hours, though, once you leave the beach, you ain't coming back. You're exhausted.
Yeah. The sun beats you
down.
The
sun beats you down. The sand, as Swag mentioned, gets in your cracks and your crevices. But it's also hard to beat a day like this if you're on the beach.
But if I get a day, plus I also think for the most part, if you go to a lake, you can be a bit more isolated. It's a bit more remote just the people you want to be around.
Well, not right now.
If you're going to a beach, unless it's really private, like private access, there tends to be more people than
going on there.
I would prefer to deal
with. We were camped next to a boat ramp, so that lake theory is not entirely accurate right now.
All right, mail sack question. With the Redskins changing their name, do you think it will expand to the Kansas City Chiefs, Florida State Seminoles, Atlanta Braves, Cleveland Indians? You get the point.
Well, Cleveland already announced it, didn't they?
Not that they're changing. They did the same thing as Washington, and we will discuss.
Everybody's exploring it. Florida State and the Seminole Nation are tight.
That's an agreed-upon deal.
That's not relationship, so that won't change.
The Brave one, to my knowledge, the Braves have said they're not looking into the name. They're looking into the tomahawk chop.
Tomahawk chop. I think you might see logos. I don't think they'll be...
I don't see the... And look, this is coming from an ignorant white person, so bear with me.
Easy teeing it up that way. That could sound like you're about to say something super racist.
Well, like Chiefs is like a... It's not... I don't know.
Of a Native American tribe.
I don't
right?
view that the same as I view Google what the definition of chief is and Google what the definition of a redskin is. Yes. It's pretty simple.
You might see some logos change. You might see some further clarifications of, what they believe the nicknames and the mascots.
Well, and they were leaning towards the sea anyway. Chief Wahoo is absolutely
Chief
gone.
Chief Wahoo's out.
Yeah, that's already out.
That's out.
They should change their name to the Spiders.
They
Those
need to go to the
awesome.
Spiders. I think that's fantastic.
All over it.
Because it's such a bland term. Like, it's the Indians. It's like, well, the Portland Asians. Like, what are we doing here? Like, we wouldn't do that. So I would be cool with that. The Brave one. Look, I'm rocking my Brave hat right now with the A. If they change their name for whatever reason, I'm cool with it. The tomahawk chop. Admittedly feels a little racist or weird to do as a non-Native American.
Ready to get rid of that one.
We're doing like the noise mixed with the chopping motion.
And any, there's some schools that still have like the Fighting Illini. I think one mascots that are specific to a specific or a specific tribe. I just, as long as that tribe is integrated and in the know and that relationship is good, then I'm fine with that. As long as there's some, they might want to take the opportunity to further explain to the public, you know, how they support one another and those sorts of things, be advantageous there. But yeah, I think those will probably stay put. Like North Dakota, the Fighting Sioux, they got into a big battle because the NCAA came out at one point and you had to justify it. I know Florida State had to go through and they had to have the Seminole Nation send in some documentation to the NCAA for formal approval. But North Dakota couldn't host like the hockey Frozen Four or anything because of that. So,
All right, mail sack question. Which Food Network competition, Chopped, Cutthroat Kitchen, Guys Grocery Games, etc., do you think you would have the best chance of winning?
I can't remember the name of it, but I think I would have the best chance.
What's Cutthroat Kitchen? I don't know if I've ever watched Cutthroat Kitchen.
I don't know what that... I'd have to look up some of those names. I've seen all these shows, but I think I would take down Bobby Flay one-on-one.
I was going to say that.
Beat Bobby Flay?
See, now the Bobby Flay angle is good because you need to win your initial matchup.
Yeah, you're only going up against one person.
Dish. Then you pick your dish.
And it's your strength. And you know what you're cooking. It's not a curveball that's thrown at you. You're throwing the curveball. Chopped, I would stand no chance.
No chance.
I don't know anything about Cutthroat Kitchen.
Let me look that one up.
And Guys Grocery Games, yeah, maybe, but it all would depend on the draw.
Well, also,
because there's sometimes it's something you get like the list of things you could shop and what you can buy.
I'm not
and
doing
stand
any
no
of
chance.
Those. None of the baking ones. But none here, of those no. dessert here, things.
Here's the problem with Guys Grocery Games. Can you locate the items? Sure. But what if he tells you to get sardines, barbecue sauce, cheddar cheese, and let's be fun, apples?
Yeah.
What are you making?
Yeah, exactly.
I can't do that. If I'm choosing my own destiny,
well,
that'd be luck
of
the draw.
Well, there's the new one that, what's it called? Supermarket Stakeout or something. So basically, they're given a bunch of money and they have to...
You buy people's groceries,
just buy
right?
the grocery cart. Yeah. You don't know what's in it.
And you cook with whatever that person
bought. And then you're
out
in the parking lot. Yeah, Alex Gornishelli's hosting that one.
I got to be honest. I don't think I've seen Cutthroat Kitchen.
I haven't either.
I Googled it and I don't recognize
long.
It.
Okay, a short
it
run.
Was it Alton Brown?
Alton Brown. He's carrying a briefcase with money in it. Basically, like, if you cook well, this is what you get.
There was weird things they had to... They like took away implements or you had to... It was...
He's one of them has him...
There was too much going on.
One of them has a competitor cooking something in like a ball pit.
Oh.
Like a kid's ball pit. This show...
Yeah. Nah, that's why it didn't last.
Also, he looks kind of creepy in his pictures where they're like, hey, tilt the briefcase down and look like a mad villain from a 007 movie.
Yeah.
That's kind of what he's going with.
No, okay. throw down with Bobby Flay or beat Bobby Flay because I think there's less competitors, so you give yourself a better chance.
I would lose, by the way, for the record, but I feel like I have the best chance at that game.
Now, here's a question to ponder. I don't even know if I have an answer for this. If you had to go in to beat Bobby Flay, let's say you get past your initial competitor, what do you go with? What is your staple?
I hate to admit this publicly. I'm not proud, but this goes back to the trailer park days. I'm making biscuits and gravy, bitch.
There's nothing wrong with making biscuits and gravy.
Well, of all the things you can make, I don't think that's coming into people's minds of top five items, but I'm dialed with my biscuits and gravy.
See, the problem is I'd want to make chili, and you can't make chili in 25 minutes.
Yeah, you got to. Yeah, I think it's longer. Isn't it longer than 25? 20, I can't remember
25,
how long it is.
Half hour or something like that.
You got to be quick. No chili, no crock pot.
I'd also be good with the crowd. I'd be very interactive with the crowd.
You need the crowd
on your side.
Yeah, get the judges on your side.
Judges like you a little bit. They hate Bobby Flay.
I don't know. I'd have to text a fiance. I don't know what my best
You don't
dish
think
is.
You don't have something that sticks out that
Not really. No, that I'm like that's my best thing that I cook. I feel like I'm an adequate cook. I do a good job, but I'm kind of like I'm great at good in a lot of different categories, but not great in one category, if that makes sense.
Okay, I hate to say this cuz I'm not a big fan of the term, but for the radio's sake in the game, gun to your head. What are you making? You got to give us something.
I might go stir fry.
Ooh.
I might go with a stir fry.
Ooh.
That's where I'm leaning right now. It's my early answer.
I like it.
Swigard, what would you go? You can't go chili. It's got to be something you can cook in a half hour.
boy.
Don't be a bitch. Give us an answer. Don't pull a Dirt.
The shrimp tacos.
Shrimp tacos?
Shrimp tacos, okay. I make are pretty good. The problem is that's right in his wheelhouse.
Yes, it is.
You would want to pick something that, I think everything's in his wheelhouse to a certain extent. You know?
I mean, one of his staple restaurants is Mesa Grill. Yeah, yeah. And he likes to do the spicy and the Tex-Mex. And
look, it's like doing a chipping contest with a PGA golfer. Could you win maybe on a shot?
Sure, maybe you get one end closer than him.
But the odds are you're going to lose.
Okay, a couple more rapid fire ones here. Would you rather go a year without a door on your bedroom or a door on your bathroom?
Ooh, worst cooks in America. I forgot about that show.
Bedroom.
Say that question again.
Would you rather go a year without a door on your bedroom or a door on your bathroom?
Bedroom.
Oh, bathroom, because my bathroom's in my bedroom and I'm not doing the...
I'm keeping that odor contained in that room.
I'm not doing the naked dance with the wife with the possibility of the kids that still...
Yeah, this doesn't apply to me in any way. We don't close bedroom doors and sometimes I don't even close bathroom doors.
I have no more animals, no more kids in the house.
I don't care.
I'm
good. We're just hanging.
You don't close your bathroom door?
I mean, occasionally, no.
Even when she's home?
Yeah, but if she's like in the other side of the house, like, nah, what am I closing that door for? I turn the fan on. That's all I need.
God, you married yourself a real one.
Okay, quickly, would you want to get free meals to your favorite restaurant for a year or free first class tickets anywhere you want to go in the world for a year? That's a no-brainer, right? You go first class tickets.
First class tickets.
Although that would be the only expense you would get. You would still have to pay for the stay wherever you're going.
Yeah, first class.
So that
class.
Would add up. Would you rather do that or a free meal anytime you want to go to your favorite restaurant?
If I could have done Vietnam in first class, I'd have zero complaints. Zero.
Oh, if I'm flying first class on the road with the pilots, baby.
Now we're talking.
TP's in business coach. You're like, hey,
we're talking.
I'll see you in the terminal.
And then somebody asked, where was your hole in one sprig? Was it number two at Stone Creek?
Stone Creek. It was 133 that day. It wasn't a laser beam, but it wasn't very high. It bounced once and kind of just rolled right in.
Funneled into the hole, man. Yeah. Funneled into the hole. We got some leftovers. We'll see if we have time for them the rest of the show. We got some Post Malone stuff to get into. Mike Leach asked a question. The NBA snitch line. Lots to get to in the next half hour. Well, let's flip the mail sack around and ask a listener sack.
Oh.
That's a thing. Just came up with that on the fly.
What if they don't have sacks?
What is the worst thing that's ever happened to you playing beer pong? 503-250-1080. Do you have any bad beer pong stories? I have a few.
I only have one.
Okay. I'm a really, and I'm okay admitting this, we're in the trust tree right now.
Yeah.
I'm a really bad beer pong player.
I'm not particularly great either. And I'm pretty decent at basketball.
Decent. Yeah.
I'm not bad, but I'm not great.
Is it the ball too small? I mean, what is it? Just too short of the table?
I think it's the same thing I have with golf. My depth perception isn't as good as I think it is sometimes.
Okay.
You throw it, I'm like, it's perfect. Oh, no, went way over.
Did you ever do any beer pong, Swagger?
No, that one hadn't quite
after your time.
Become as popular while I was in school. We were still in the quarters. A lot of
quarters. Yeah, a lot of quarters. Okay.
Now, we did have in the fraternity house, we had the three-story beer bong right down the stairwell.
Oh, yeah.
And a
lot of mistakes made that night.
A lot of mistakes made.
A lot of regrets.
Tastes like
regrets. The reason I asked this, now I had, we have, there was, when I was towards the end of my college time, they came up with a thing, I think it was called like a troll kind of thing. So if you win an entire game without making a shot, you would have to sit underneath the table for the entire next game. And I will readily admit that happened to me two or three times in college. The reason I asked this question, Patrick Mahomes is continuing his, celebrity tour after signing his contract. He is the new cover man of GQ magazine.
Yeah, he's wearing a tracksuit.
He's wearing a tracksuit, man. He's just, he's living the life. Patrick Mahomes has a great gig going on right now.
I can't help but wonder, is his girlfriend, fiance, have a Russell Wilson situation brewing?
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Have you seen her in videos?
No, I have not.
She is the Russell Wilson. You remember Russell Wilson got drafted?
I do, and she was there.
And she was kind of taking over, screaming and going,
oh my God!
Mahomes kind of has a situation very similar.
Is it a wife or a girlfriend?
I think it's a fiance or girlfriend. I don't think he's married, but
she does look similar, yeah.
And she acts kind of similar.
Brittany Matthews.
Yeah.
Is her name. A girlfriend, according to People magazine.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting. I didn't even think about that. So he's doing a thing with GQ magazine, and he detailed a story. So they had their Super Bowl parade back, when would it have been? February 5th, okay? They're having the Super Bowl parade on February 5th in Kansas City.
Oh, his concert's like a week later. I remember this concert.
So Post Malone was there, and he also performed. He was there for like a week. He performed at the parade as well. And he had a big full arena, all this stuff. They were doing a thing at the Sprint Center in Kansas City. So Mahomes and Travis Kelce are both big Post Malone fans. So they, of course, went to the show. Malone invited them backstage prior to the show just to hang out before everybody took the stage, right? And while they're hanging out backstage, Mahomes and Kelce were challenged to a game of beer pong by Post Malone. They start playing, and the number's a little crazy here. If they were playing the right way and actually drinking that amount, that he would then go on stage, but I guess it's Post Malone. After the 14th game of beer pong, apparently Kelce and Mahomes had won all 14.
Jeez.
And Post Malone said at the time he made Mahomes and Kelce write their autographs on a piece of paper if they were to beat him again. He said, if you beat me 15 straight times, I'm going to get your names tattooed on my body. Well, Mahomes and Kelce went on to win the 15th game.
Yeah.
And Mahomes said in the GQ magazine, he has a tattoo artist literally in the room. I'm like, dude, you don't actually have to get the tattoo of our autographs. He did. So Post Malone apparently has Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes autographs on his body.
I think he got the KC logo on it, too, in between their names. One, he's a huge sports fan. So I have a friend that is super into Post Malone, which is how I started listening to some of it. I heard some of his last album. But, like, he's got that White Iverson song. Remember that came out a couple years ago?
I don't know. You're the worst. Sorry.
Anyways, he's a huge sports fan. He's also a doomsday prepper. He's got a mansion out of Salt Lake City, like, miles away, that's fully built to withstand, like, the apocalypse. He's an interesting character in himself. And he also gets tattoos because he thinks he's ugly. So he just tries to cover up his ugly.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of his thinking. Because that's what I know about Malone is he has tattoos all over
everywhere.
His body.
I think he wanted to tattoo their names on him, though. You know, it's one thing to make a bet. It's another to then throw out, if I lose, which, by the way, I've lost the 14 previous matchups. If I lose, I'll get your names tattooed on my arm. I think he's doing it more for the story, to share that one day, like right now.
If you're Post Malone, you have nothing to lose at that moment. Your body's covered in tattoos.
That's what I was going to say. He doesn't care. He's got so many that he probably loses track of where that tattoo is anyway. But
yeah, for me, a tattooless bro, if I were to get those names tattooed on my body in a challenge like that, it would be a very stupid bet for me to make.
Well, it's a stupid bet just because they beat him 14 straight times. You're making that bet. You know you're going to lose it.
I'm due, baby. He's due for a win.
Just say, hey, Pat, I'm a huge fan. Can you sign your name? I want to get your autograph tattooed on my body.
Yeah, apparently Mahomes just as good at beer pong as he is at quarterbacking. Another note in the GQ story that came out, so he was talking about that day, the parade, everything that was going on, the Post Malone concert. He was asked, what would you say his over-under for beers consumed on that day was for Mahomes?
Patty Mahomes, I'm going to say the over-under is probably at like 16.
Okay, you got to go 16?
I'm going to go 16. He drank aggressively, slowed it down, but finished with a pretty impressive number.
Mahomes said that he set the over-under for beers for himself that day at 20.
Oh.
And that he surpassed the number.
Did he give it a number how many he drank?
He did not give a specific number, but he said, quote, way over.
I'm going to say he sounded like this at the end of that that there parade.
He then added, after saying he went way over, that he doesn't know how many full beers he drank because half the beers were on my clothes.
Oh, like a bunch of Stone Cold moments.
It could have been a parading, Stone Cold kind of stuff. So, yeah, what's your worst beer pong situation or story, I guess? Can you top Post Malone getting a couple of players tattooed on his body after losing 15 straight games?
He probably did the crowd throws him a beer, he catches it, chugs it, and then like the cheersing with a teammate really hard. So a lot of it's, do you count that? Do you really think you went over if you're drinking a lot of half beers?
No, I think you're going, let's say he ended up with 25 beers on the day. I'd give it 25 beers at 75%. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'd say every beer, you get about three quarters, maybe some a little more, some a little less, but I'm going to round it about to 75% of those beers.
It's still impressive if he's like in the 28 range.
Still a lot of beers. So I saw that story, thought it was pretty funny. Post Malone lost a bunch of beer pong games to Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. He said, if I lose one more, I'll get your names tattooed on my body. And they beat him again. He said, dude, you don't actually have to get a tattoo of our autographs, but Post Malone did. Okay, Mike Leach asked a question. You got something?
Well, I was going to ask you, if you did a parade, how many do you think you'd get down? And I don't care how drunk I get setting, I'm having fun, you're the champion, You know you're the face of the league now. Like, all of the things that came with Patrick Mahomes when he won that trophy. Right now, Dirt, how many beers are you drinking in a parade?
I'm going light beers all day.
Yeah.
Because I can't, I don't want that headache the next morning. If I'm drinking, you know, some Bud Lights, Coors Lights, Miller Lights kind of thing, I think I could get 23, 24 in me. Some being poured, you know, that similar situation.
In the 75% category.
Dude, I'm going all day, man. That parade starts in the morning. You're partying. There's a big thing on stage. There's an after party. Like, that's an all-day party. You got to get ready for that. And then you spend the next couple of weeks sleeping it off. Okay, we got NBA snitch line and a Mike Leach question. We'll go there next on The Fam. One of our P1s tweeting us that Post Malone got a champ stamp.
He got a champ stamp.
I mean, it's a champ stamp, man. You can't turn that thing down.
I'll tell you right now, if Dame gets a title, I'm absolutely getting a Dame champ stamp.
Are you? If
Hell
he wins
yeah.
a title, you get one?
Dude, I'm getting sleeve. I'll put that bad boy somewhere on my arm. I don't care.
Do you do Dame? Do you do the clock? Do you do like his face? Do you do the jersey?
Oh, I probably do the Lillard clock and then the middle of the watch, the small hand and the big hand. Uh-huh. The middle of that is the Blazer logo.
Okay, I like that idea.
Yeah.
That'd be a cool tattoo.
And maybe, like, the clock is more of a zero than it is just a full-on circle. It's a nice little zero shape.
It's got to be NBA. You got to have the trophy in there, don't you?
That's what the small hand is. You know, time it is, right? It's championship time. I kind of want to get this tattoo right now.
Just get it now. You'll be one of those fans that gets a tattoo before the season actually starts. Blazers 2020 NBA champs. Go that route, man.
Well, I'm going up to...
be bold.
I'm seeing my tattoo artist in like 10 days. Uh-huh. I'm going to have like 25% of my arm tattooed. So when you see me again...
In 10 days? You're getting it all, in 10 days?
I was supposed to get it like a month after COVID hit, but everything got shut down.
There you go. The sleeve's coming in, man. Are you getting a picture of my face on there? Did I make the cut?
I don't want to tell you where your face is. You're the beer pong troll. You know what your mouth is on my body? You don't want to know.
Oh, dear Lord. Somebody said, I drank 14 beers on the course at the Resort of the Mountain when Sprague was there 2 years ago. I was a drunk dude who dedicated a drive to you.
Wait. Which one was it?
Somebody apparently dedicated a drive to you at the Resort of the Mountain?
Dude, Resort of the
Mountain. I can just envision that.
Resort of the Mountain, by the way, super underrated. Great course.
Nice course.
Dialed.
I never played up there before.
Yeah, beautiful.
P1 Tyler has challenged me to a round of golf. Loser gets a temporary tattoo on their lower back. I've gotten a temporary tattoo before, and I don't want to go that route again. So, but I will play golf with you, but I don't want to go to the temporary
Are you ever going to get a tattoo? What's it going to take for
know,
us
man.
To get a logo or something on your body?
It's a good question. I don't know. I've never really been a tattoo guy. I'm not opposed to tattoos. It's just not something that I've like thought about. Like, you know what? I really want to get a tattoo. I bet at some point in my life I'll get one.
Well, I was going to ask, do you feel like you would look like a good tattoo guy?
I don't think so.
Really?
I think there's some things that I can pull off and others I can't.
Mm.
I don't know. I don't think I got a tattoo body.
Can I tell you how your body strikes me as you get the Rock Samoan tattoo shoulder combo chest piece.
Okay.
But like not Samoan because you're white.
Sure. Yeah, that wouldn't be a good look.
Just get like a super white version of that.
I think he needs to go back of the calf. You're a back
no,
of the calf
No, I am not
guy.
A back of the calf guy.
You're
I,
not back
no,
of the calf guy?
I'm not a back of the calf guy. It's not happening.
What about thigh guy?
You mean to be thigh tattoo?
You could
bro?
Be thigh guy.
No, if I got a tattoo, I would go upper arm where it's covered by sleeves.
Oh.
And then occasionally you'd see it when I'm rocking my sleeveless tee.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like I had this conversation because I'm a Hawaiian shirt guy. I'm fully embracing Hawaiian shirt life. And Tim Taylor was making fun of me after one of the shows last week because I wore a Hawaiian shirt. And
he's mad he can't rock it.
Yeah, he said his mom gave him a bunch of Tommy Bahama shirt and he threw them away because it's a bad look. And so we got into this whole beef in the hallway and then Sakanik walked by and he gave me the tip of the cap saying that I have a body to pull off Hawaiian shirts.
See?
You know, I'm barrel chested. I got a little chest hair. You know, I can pull that look off. There's some things that I can handle. I think being multi-tattoo, bro, I don't think that's my look.
I also think there's an element of, let's say you love tattoos, all right, just for argument's sake. I think there's an element that if you really are into it, if you own it when you have it, people kind of just adjust how they feel and go, oh, yeah. Like you went fully into being Hawaiian shirt guy.
I'm all in.
When you carry that confidence, it's very easy to see you and go, oh, he's a good Hawaiian shirt guy.
You can pull that look off.
It's the swagger you carry will carry over into other people thinking you're that guy too.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. You got to be confident. You got to have a little swagger.
You got to have, yeah, you got to make people like, at first they're going to be like, what? Are you doing that? And you're like, yeah, why not?
Then we said, did Suk tell you you have the body of an Andy Reid? I mean, kind of. I mean, he's going that route, but I'm okay with that.
You're not, no, you're not that level.
I'm okay with that. Let me ask this question before we get to the NBA snitch line. Mike Leach asked this, and it sparked a light bulb in my brain. He tweeted this, if you could know the truth behind any mystery, which mystery would you choose?
The afterlife.
It's a pretty good one I didn't think about.
Why would you not want to know if nothing happens or if something happens? I want to know.
Okay, let's go on this earth, like JFK.
Aliens.
Aliens.
Yeah.
It's absolutely aliens.
Pyramids.
No, I think.
Ego aliens.
It has to be aliens, doesn't it? What information do we know about them? And then, like, how much info do we have about them? Are they living amongst us? Did they crash once?
Is it Men in Black?
Are they short? Are they hot? Are they in the interspecies mingling here? Like, what's the situation? There's really not, even JFK, I'm not
There's
really.
Nothing else that gets you to that point?
No, because JFK was, we know what happened with JFK.
Oh, do we?
The same thing that happened to Mr. Epstein.
Okay. Let me, hold on. I'm going to see what.
You don't think he got?
I don't know.
He got.
Here are some of the ones that we got tweeted to us. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Sasquatcher Area 51, Malaysia Flight 370.
Well, yeah.
We got D.B. Cooper multiple times.
D.B. Cooper's a very underrated one.
Whatever happened. We got a handful of JFKs, of course. Who was the Zodiac Killer?
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the ones we had tweeted to us.
The Bigfoot one is no interest to me. I would have cared like at a younger age. But once that Patterson film was, we found out that was a fake. That ruined. I was done. I'm off it. I was off Team Bigfoot. I rented books from the library. I read about Bigfoot. And that video was like my hope. And then that dude died and on his deathbed.
Yeah, he said that was me.
He said it was a fake.
The only other mystery that comes to mind is the Bermuda Triangle.
Ooh,
that's a good one.
It's a great one, Swigard.
Yeah. What,
that was a big deal in the
90s. Why are all those planes and ships going into that area
and disappearing?
Not coming out.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, your afterlife answer totally like
rocked your world, didn't it?
My world. I thought I was throwing a good pitch at you and you just were waiting for it. You hit it out of the ballpark.
Look, we all know I'm a weirdo. Admittedly, one time a day, I will spend 10 minutes of my thinking time wondering about that. So I would absolutely choose that first.
Somebody went with what happened to Carol Baskin's husband. And somebody said Dirk should get the organo tattooed around his belly button. There we go.
That would actually be great.
O's on O's, man.
O's on O's.
All right. There you go. Good little show. If you missed any of it, Les Rob Tires podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find it. We had Phil Steele and Heather Dinich on. Go check them out.
Champ stamps and O's on O's.
That's a good way to end the show. We had a whole bunch of poll questions. Go vote on them. We're not going to have time to answer them today, but there were some good ones, I promise, at Dirt and Sprague and at 1080 The Fan. Thank you for being a part of our Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well. We will talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one's next, listening to 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.